it's your boy Flash from ALWT Gaming, aka Malachi 36. I am here with the one, the only, it's the Nine Ball Corner Pocket. How are you doing, man?
I'm good today. I'm good and I'm ready. We got some good news story coming up today.
For sure, man. We got a meaty show today. Welcome again to episode 10, season 2 of All Things Gaming for March, almost said February, March 8th, 2022. We got a whole lot of stuff that happened over the weekend. There was so much news that was happening that I even called It's a Nine Ball Middle Dude Carrot yesterday just to kind of pre-talk about what was going on. So, what's been going on to you? What's new? Digging a little background that's going on right now.
For me personally, not too much. It's just been a lot of working and playing quite a bit of Master Duel. Of course, I got to get my level up to 100. On my Game Pass, I haven't did that yet.
I did that. I actually did do that.
What?
I got my battle pass up to 100 on Master Duel.
Yeah, my current deck's falling apart. It's not winning as like it used to. So.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I quit a lot. I definitely quit a lot. It doesn't even have to be that their deck was so overpowered. It's the fact that if they just went on and on and on. Even though I might have the cards to beat it, like, I don't have the time to deal with this. You already took about 5 minutes of my time, and I'm just sitting there with the cards in my hand. Like, on to the next one. I like little quick turnarounds, you know what I mean? like if you trade me a new one, that's your prerogative, but I'm just, when it comes to Master Duel. But don't take my time. Like, that's precious. But yeah.
Man, I've been having a blast on that, of course. Been keeping track. I've been watching... Yeah, I went back and finishing up Star Trek Discovery and looking at some games I might do here shortly. Right. I do want to get back into streaming, but I needed to find another game. I kind of wasn't in the mood for like another sneaking game like that.
Yeah.
So I have a couple games in mind to see where I'm going. So.
And that's where I'm at too as well when it comes down. Like, I like to spread out my genres and stuff. Like, for us, I know we were talking about it before off stream, that it was likely what was going to be our sin segment, our strength in number segment, was going to be Bloodborne. But then after playing so much Elden Ring, and then with Strangers of Paradise coming around the corner, literally like not this Friday, but next Friday is when it comes out, I was like, that's going to be. And then if we started Bloodborne from that time period, that would have been too many Souls-like games, at least for me. So that's why I wanted to switch it up, and we're doing Anthem, which honestly, like, again, Anthem does have its issues. It does have its issues, but towards the middle-ish end portion of the stream last Thursday, I was actually having a lot of fun with it to where I didn't actually jump off immediately when we stopped. So definitely enjoying that. There are some things that, once again, they have to improve on, and well, not even improve on because they're not going to come back to it, but it had so much potential to it. So at this point, I just want to get it through the story, the campaign, and then be done with it. Let people borrow it if they want to, since I have the physical copy. What new games have you been playing recently? Just recently, I know you said you're playing some Master Duel. You're looking for a new game to stream, but is there anything on the cusp that you have been playing?
Well, burning my backlog finally up. Going through some. God, we're doing it again. Death Stranding. this is I gotta do it. I gotta do it.
Yeah.
I gotta finish this. It's not a bad game. It's just it can get kind of tedious.
Yeah.
Having to deal with Timefall rain. You got a bunch of ghosts walking around. You gotta be careful with BTs. That part's kind of cool because you gotta hide from them and stuff and. Then you got to keep your baby calm. You got to worry about falling because if you fall, you can damage the packages. You get rated on how long it takes you to deliver your package, the condition of it, and if you can get, like, sometimes people around the world, like other players, will leave packages. You can pick those up and deliver those as well.
Is that like almost like a Dark Souls scenario where people can leave messages for you, like, hey, watch out ahead?
Yeah, they can do that too. They can also leave for you helpful things. Like, they can leave ladders to help you get to places faster.
Wow.
Or ropes and stuff.
Okay.
And you can leave likes for them. Yeah, but
that's definitely Dark Souls-ish.
It's fun. It's just, well, it's Dark Souls, but kind of worse. You can't really... I think you can fight later on, but I'm still at the beginning. I'm pretty sure, but if you die on this, it's bad. You trigger a void out. It's like a nuke. Mm. Yeah, and it just leaves a crater.
I will say Death Stranding is a game that I virtually have zero interest in.
Yeah, I can see why. It's not, like I said, this game's one of those games I wouldn't suggest for anybody.
Uh-huh.
It's not an everybody style game. It's sort of one of those niche titles. For me, I like to play it. I play it in place right now of No Man's Sky. It's one of those I can do while I'm relaxing in a way. Games.
The more I think about it and look into it, the more I am, and I think I talked about this on a couple streams ago, but I'm more in that niche of fantasy RPG style, or even fantasy hack and slash, anything that's medieval, like I do like. When it comes down to futuristic space marine or space type stuff, that's when I'm more of like how's the gameplay? You know what I mean? Like that's where my hype level will kind of be at. I think so far, probably if you had to talk about like actual futuristic stuff, the one that would be more my forte right now would be Mass Effect. But even with that, I'm still not like the huge like space type of guy. I just never really have been. So with that, Star Trek was never really my thing. Honestly, even Star Wars really isn't. To be completely honest with you, it really isn't. I do have an appreciation for Star Wars. I think it opened the doors for a lot of possibilities and a lot of stuff. But even with that, if a new Star Wars game, like Coda Remake, I know that that's coming out. Me and Ohio were talking off stream about this. I know he's extremely excited for that. I'm excited to see what it's like. Like, especially if it's going to give you all those choices and stuff. I'll give it a shot. But I just never, like, I'm more excited about Dragon Age, Dreadwolf over a Star or Coda Remake or anything like that. That's just me, though.
No, that's good. I'm a huge sci-fi fan. As you know, I picked up, I watched Star Wars, not a huge follower of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I am more in line with Star Trek fan. I love Star Trek. Of course, Warhammer 40K. I picked that one up kind of by accident. I was watching, I can't remember who channel. I want to say Nerd Slayer. He was talking about the history of World of Warcraft. And Warhammer plays a huge part in MMORPGs. Because, if I'm not mistaken, it was supposed to be Warhammer, but Games Workshop kind of dropped the ball. Because StarCraft was supposed to be Warhammer 40K. And I believe that World of Warcraft was originally supposed to be Warhammer Age of Sigmar.
Interesting.
But they sort of dropped the ball. And it was stupid on their part. And they ended up going with Games Workshop, and it didn't work out. But I digress. But anyway, I kind of like the lore on War. I'm a huge lore fan. I kind of love sci-fi lore. I love those style of games. Sort of like, I love the lore on Warhammer. I liked its Space Marines. There's not many Warhammer games I really like. I like Space Marines. It's pretty straightforward, and I am kind of happy to see that they do have a Space Marines 2 coming out. Mm-hmm. And I am kind of happy that they do. I need to pick that up. Dark Tide.
Yeah.
Coming out. Yep. Warhammer 40,000 Dark Tide coming out. The lore of Warhammer is immense. Like most people will say, people know for Warhammer 40,000. But most people, you can do a thesis, like it's one I was saying, or the Warhammer 10,000 to 20,000. The like age of mankind, where like mankind had hit the zenith and it was just unstoppable. It's like when it was like the golden age of mankind before they completely collapsed and became Warhammer 40,000 Imperium and the whole zenith on Eldar and stuff. But I love those kind of things. I love sci-fi I need to, I can do a lot of somewhat fantasy, but I'm not huge on. I mean, I love my MMORPGs.
Certainly.
Yeah. The, like, Final Fantasy 14. I think I like WoW for the variety of different options of using, like, they, every tank, and this was something I do hope that they go more into on 14, is that they keep taking tanks and instead of making them all the same, make them deal with damage differently. And this is one thing that World of Warcraft does that is great. Like, for example, everybody knows a Death Knight. Or most games have a Death Knight, but their Death Knight's different because unlike most tanks, the Death Knight doesn't mitigate damage. It just straight up takes it. And this is what this... So, Death Knight is designed to take the damage and then heal itself after the damage is taken. That's how Death Knights work. Whereas a monk staggers the damage, which it instead of you taking the damage, you would take like 40% of it straight up, and then it puts a dot on you for the rest of the damage, which more or less staggers the damage straight up other than just taking burst damage or using mitigation tools. They all have mitigation tools, but dealing with damage is different. That's something I'm hoping, and I am happy to see that they are experimenting with on Final Fantasy 14. I hope they keep going with that. But I'm probably more sci-fi. I play horror from time to time, but I don't know. I haven't really jumped into some. I picked up some more horror-style games, and I hope they're good. One is like a homage to PS1. A couple more are an homage to PS1 titles. They look, and they set it up intentionally to play like a PlayStation 1 game.
Yeah.
So I might be looking at playing those soon as well.
Okay. Well, I've been playing quite a bit of Elden Ring. I beat the second boss over the weekend. The first main story boss, because there's a lot of bosses that's in the game in general, and it is a game that is Souls-like, so anything can kill you if you're not. Just depends on how your awareness is. The first boss. Sunday. Yeah, the first boss, I had much more, like Godrick, that's his name, I had much more problem with Godrick than I did with the moon boss, I can't remember what her name is. That first stage, like after I found out what the mechanic was with the help of Ohio, I was able to like easily take her out because that first stage, like you just have to kill off these, like, so there's her that's like in this like shield bubble that's like floating in the air, but then there's all these little like kids, like little kid, like demon little kids on the ground, but they can't walk. They can only like crawl on their hands. And some of them will throw like arcane books at you. Others will have like a candle, and then they'll blow on it, and it's like fire that tries to go at you. They're pretty slow, to be honest with you. And then you have others that will be, if they're next to you, they'll try to bite at you, and then others just like literally just sit there. But then there's this one that's out there in the bunch that literally is like projecting the shield for the main boss. So like they're just standing there doing nothing, and they're glowing like literally gold. And if you shoot them one time, then that will cause that one to fall down, and then another one will pop up somewhere inside the bunch. And if you get three in a row, then the main boss will fall down, everybody is stunned, and that's your opportunity to go and attack her. All right. So with that, when I found out what that mechanic was, because my guy that I have on Elden Ring is a samurai that also uses archery. So I'm literally far back and just out of the range of most everybody, and I'm sniping these like little golden kids from a distance with my bow and arrow. Run up, slash him a couple times, go back to my spot, and I just kind of repeat that until I'm through that first stage. The second stage, that's where it gets a little trickier, because she just... doing all these, she's a mage, she's a straight up mage, so she's doing all these spells, and then she's summoning like pretty much anything inside the game. Like she'll summon a giant, she'll summon a dragon, she'll summon some wolves, she'll summon like a ninja. Like she's summoning all these different types of stuff that will try to take you out. So the trick on that one is try to burn her down before she gets to those summons. That's what Ohio did. For me, I actually got lucky that towards the end, I got lucky that she summoned super early, because that's one thing for Elden Ring Souls-like games and stuff like that. They have a set move set but they don't always use those movesets at the same exact ways. So they'll mix it up on you. So with that being said, theoretically, on a normal game, until like her health is like halfway through, or maybe when she's almost dead, that's when she would start summoning stuff that comes out. In this game, you have no idea when she's going to summon when she's in that second stage. She could do it at the very beginning. She could do it at the very end. She could do it right in the middle. She might not do it at all, depending on how you fight her, like how she feels at that time. I actually got lucky that she summoned early, which sounds weird because you would think that I'd be screwed over that, but that allowed my summoning wolves, because I summoned wolves too, to be able to take that aggro from those summons. I could just focus directly on her. So, yeah. So that's how I got past that lady. But yeah, Godric was definitely a problem. Now I'm on my way looking for the third boss. And I got two more bosses, I believe, that's story mainline. And then after I beat those two bosses, then I would have completed the base story for Elden Ring. And then just open exploration, finding other bosses, gems, stuff like that, co-op with my friends and everything.
So I have a question.
Yes.
Because I know you're not a Souls player.
Not at all. So I'm not a Souls player, but I mean, like, the one Souls game I did officially beat was with you and Mildew and Carrot, which was Remnant from the Ashes. So we beat that. And then I do have a fondness for Code Vein. I just haven't got back to it yet. And then I do have an appreciation. Like, I do want to get into Neo more, and Sekiro died twice. I just have yet to actually do it. But go ahead with your question.
How well are you catching on? Because I know both people talk about the difficulty of a Souls game.
It's fine. I feel more in tune with this one than I do the other Souls games. It is more of a patience thing. You can't just go in there and hack and slash. If you go in there and hack and slash, chances are you're going to get ate up. So it is like literally trying to be strategic in your fights as if you're really in that world. So it's really fine. It's not really that difficult as that. It gets frustrating when you're fighting a boss. But outside of that, you just have to be patient with it. It's not really anything too difficult. Mindful of your sources, mindful of your magic, stamina, health. Like, that's pretty much all those elements on there. I do think, though, that my only complaint with it was the co-op. Like, when you want to try to co-op with somebody, it's insanely, like, tedious of how to actually get someone into your world and vice versa. And even right now, like me and Abs 3315, she can't co-op with anybody for whatever reason with us, but she's able to co-op with random strangers. It's so weird. It's just so, like, it is. I don't know why. Like, I've been able to co-op with Silent, Ohio, Gravity Mark. I've been able to co-op with everyone else except for Abs 3315. So it's like,
going ahead.
Well, she's on PS4, but so is Ohio. So it's not even a generational thing, because we're all on PS5 except for those two. And I have no idea why it's so hard for us to link up with Abs33. Her settings are correct. We have the password that we have set up for our individual lobby. It's just, for whatever reason, she just has the hardest time linking up online. So my only suggestion for that one, which I don't know if she's done yet already, but my only suggestion for that one is for her to uninstall the game and reinstall it, see if that fixes something.
Now, one more quick question.
Yeah.
Would this be a game that you would recommend?
100%. 100%. And I kind of ruined my review video, because I'm going to be doing a post review, but this is something that I would...
This is based on gameplay now. I mean, it could change later on. I mean...
Well, I'm doing my post review video in like the next couple days. So so chances are it's not going to change. But yeah, no, it's definitely a game I would more certainly recommend to somebody. This is coming from someone that's not naturally a Souls-like player. So, super open world... Fantastic. Pretty much you can fight almost exactly how you want to. You can dual wield almost any weapon. You can one hand almost any single weapon. Like, it's pretty cool. They allow you to double jump on a horse. Like, that's probably one of the coolest things that I've seen in a video game in a very long time. So this game is checking off a lot of boxes for people, especially if you're a Souls-like fan or if you want to look for something different and challenging. But Nineball, we are 19 minutes into the show, and we have a lot to talk about. So we're going to wrap up our intro and go straight on over to the incoming which is this PlayStation State of Play. This is breaking news. This had happened today. It wasn't breaking as we started the show, but it was breaking today, so I just still call it breaking news. So on here, it's a three-parter. I'm going to read the first two parts. I want to talk about it, and then that third part is still underneath the PlayStation umbrella. So, first part, Andy Robinson from VGC, aka Video Game Chronicles, says this in their article. Sony Interactive Entertainment is planning to hold its next digital game showcase this month, it's claimed. That's according to multiple sources who told Game Reactor that the PlayStation parent had been planning a State of Play live stream for this week. However, it's claimed that SIE has been facing calls to delay the event due to ongoing invasion in Ukraine. Some developers who are set to show off their game in the show and even as PlayStation Studios have asked for the show to be delayed because they don't want to take the spotlight away from the awful situation happening right now, the publication claims. This allegedly led to the talks about delaying it a week or two, but at least it sounds like we'll get some very exciting announcements from PlayStation and its partners before the end of March. Sony's upcoming exclusive include God of War Ragnarok, Final Fantasy 16, Forspoken, Ghostwire Tokyo. The platform holder is also reportedly planning a major overhaul of its subscription offerings. According to multiple reports, PlayStation's upcoming in-development Game Pass competitor, quote, Project Spartacus, is pretty close to actually launching. According to the earlier report by Bloomberg, Sony's new service will combine the current PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now services, phasing out the branding of the latter. According to the journalist Jeff Grubb, Spartacus will be comprised of the three tiers priced at $16 a month, up to $16 a month. Right now, they are called Essential, Extra, and Premium, Grubb claimed. The pricing could be a placeholder, but the pricing is at $10 for the Essential, $13 for the Extra, and $16 for the Premium. So that's the first article I wanted to read off. Here's the second one. Gabe Gerwin from GameSpot says this in their article for PlayStation's event tomorrow. Sony has announced that the PlayStation State of Play event for tomorrow, March 9th, will be focused on Japanese published games coming to both PS4 and PS5. The 20-minute presentation will include a new game reveals in new addition to updates on previously announced titles. The 20 minutes will predominantly focus on games from Sony's Japanese publishing partners for both PS4 and PS5, though Sony said a few other partners from around the world will be featured too. This could mean updates on games like Final Fantasy 16, though it's, of course, unclear what the unannounced games will be. What won't we see is more information. Oh, well, what we won't see is more information about the PSVR 2, either hardware or games, so we should expect more news on that at a later date. State of Play will begin at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, my question to you, Nineball. Mm-hmm. VGC have mentioned that Sony's going to be having a showcase at this sometime this month. We just, as of today, now that article that they wrote for VGC was a couple days ago. Actually, I think it was actually yesterday, to be honest with you. The State of Play was announced today and it's happening tomorrow, which is a super quick turnaround. My question to you is, do you think that this State of Play is what VGC was talking about, or do you think that there's going to be an actual showcase before the end of March?
God, this one. The problem is basically what's going on in Ukraine, and I know they're calling for the pause on a thing and a delay. And that's going to really affect it. I know they wanted to do it to tomorrow, right?
Well, that's the State of Play. That they announced that today. That's going to be tomorrow for the State of Play. Yeah.
Are you trying to see what they're going to be showing off?
So my question to you would be, for what VGC was talking about yesterday, because yesterday they had rumored that there's going to be a PlayStation event of some sort this month.
And this might be it.
You think that this is it?
This may be it. Like I said, with this though, I don't think it's going to be at a later day. I think this is it. It makes no sense to run 2 to 3 events on the same month.
Well, it would be two, but that's the part that that's the part that I'm kind of curious about, because whenever you hear about a PlayStation showcase, you know that has bigger weight, has a bigger caliber to it. Every single time you hear about the PlayStation showcase, remember, that is when we got the PS5 reveal for the first time. That is the first time when we saw, on the second one, which is back in 2020, that was when we saw Final Fantasy 16 actually being worked on for the first time, and we got the price for the PS5s. And so if you think about those two alone, those are already big. Like, we got big announcements on both of those. They have, that was probably one of the best gears for video game announcements, period. Then going fast-forwarding from there into 2021, the next PlayStation Showcase started off with Coda Remake. Now, we don't see gameplay, but we saw that was an announcement, and it looked like that's either going to be a timed exclusive or exclusive right now on PlayStation, but I know it's something that's coming to PlayStation first. And then we saw Project Eve, and then fast forward, there's other stuff that was like semi-interesting to interesting in that showcase. Then you fast forward to the ends of it where you saw Wolverine for the first time. You saw Spider-Man 2 for the first time, which that's supposed to be slated to be launched in 2023. Then you saw Gran Turismo 7, which came out just this past Friday. And then you saw more God of War. And you saw a lengthy bit of God of War. So, and again, that's all underneath this PlayStation Showcase. So normally when you hear PlayStation Showcase, and you're usually in that phrase, it holds more of a value to it versus a State of Play, which can be a series of things. It could be a Horizon State of Play. It could be a... what's that? Little Devil Inside? It could be a little Devil Inside State of Play, to where it's just like, hey, here's some announcements of small indie titles. This is the platform that we want to share it on. So it's not really like huge news, but this is what's coming. So that's kind of where I'm thinking, like, I think with that, if this is not what VGC was talking about, and we're actually getting a PlayStation Showcase at the end of this month, I think that will make sense. Because you have your State of Play that's just trying to pump out the smaller indie titles or whatever, and then you have your Showcase, which is like the caliber of a PlayStation 5 reveal, the big dog titles that's coming out, Final Fantasy 7 Remake or something. Now, with that being said, do I think that they're talking about two different things? I'm kind of thinking no. I think that what they're talking about for tomorrow, I'm more in line with you that I think that that's what they were meaning when they said that PlayStation is going to have a showcase at some point this month.
Yeah.
I don't like the term showcase. I wish that they said PlayStation event. Because, again, when you say showcase, that's the first thing that comes to most gamers' minds is going to be, okay, we're going to get an hour of content or 45 minutes with the good stuff. Like, hit me with it. So, and on top of that, like, another reason why I don't think it's like a showcase is because it's March. Now, granted, 2 years ago, we got a very late showcase from PlayStation. And even last year, I think it was semi-late. Normally, you would want to have a showcase within the June, July era, which would have been more of like a during the E3 time period-ish. But now things are kind of going a little differently, so I won't be surprised if they do have a showcase, but I do think it's unlikely that they're going to have a showcase early this year, unless they want to get ahead of Summer's Game Fest and E3 that's going to be digital this year, and anything that Xbox is doing at those showcases and stuff like that.
Yeah. You're right on that. I mean, but a question is, like, they mentioned some of the stuff. What do you think they would show at it
for tomorrow?
I know that, or the showcase. If they're both the same, and you're pretty much saying they're both the same. You said it was 20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes. And they did say there's going to be some stuff that's announced and unannounced. I don't think it's going to be anything like a Final Fantasy 16. I know that a lot of people are hoping that. I'm one of those people. But I don't think it's going to be a Final Fantasy 16. And one of the reasons being is because of how the announcement was ruled out. It was today. We heard about a showcase that's happening tomorrow.
I was just checking on the news, checking on the site to see if it had been delayed or anything. So far, I've not seen nothing.
Yeah. And now here's the thing, though. Like, I'm also kind of conflicted because they did say that we were going to be getting some form of a... you're phasing in and out. You're like, you're going... like, you're going invisible on me for a second. It was kind of funny.
Oh, it's not background. Let me get rid of that. I was kind of screwing around with that.
But yeah, I was about to say, like, we did hear that we were going to be getting some form of Final Fantasy 16 update in this spring, which is also, like, it's not spring, but it's getting close. Like, we're in March right now. But then also, on the other hand, that makes me wonder, well, is PlayStation going to have something again towards the end of March? Because that would essentially be more closer to spring. So are they going to have something there? Like, are they going to have two showcases this year? And I use the term showcases loosely, because tomorrow, if you want to consider that a show, it's really an event that I'm just going to say. And at the end of the month, you can have the actual showcase, which is like you're going to have your next Horizons. They're not going to do that because Horizon just came out. But you're going to have your next Horizon. You're going to have your next God of War. You're going to have your Ghost of Tsushima 2. You're going to have your Team Asobi come out with something. You know what I mean? You're going to have all the Final Fantasy VII Part 2. Remake Part 2, all that good stuff. Like, that's where I would see more at a showcase-level event. But then that kind of makes me wonder, like, what are they going to be... Like, would they really have that 2 in 1 month? So, tomorrow, I do think that's going to be... Like, they said Japanese studios. We might get an update on Final Fantasy 16. I think it's very unlikely. But it is announced. And Square Enix is one of the Japanese developers. And they just say it's going to be based on Japanese developers. So, I'm curious. I would like to see, like, I think that also one that would be huge for me, I can't say it will be huge for the general public, but absolutely huge for me would be if we see that Seven Deadly Sins Genshin Impact style game. Like, that would be fantastic. Because it's literally called Seven Deadly Sins Origins, and it looks like you're kind of going through this world that's very similar to Genshin Impact. That's a Japanese studio right there that's making that, from what it looks like. And even the way they speak inside the trailer is Japanese. So it's just like, okay, like, if they announce that, that's huge. So, outside of that, I really don't know what else they can show. That's not going to be, because everything that I can think of, as far as me on the Japanese developer side, it's all huge stuff. It can't be, like, I know it's Chinese, but it's not going to be Black Myth, which is that Sun Wukong game. With the monkey and everything like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It can't be that, because if it is, that's huge. A lot of people are excited for that game to actually jump out. But again, that's Chinese, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think it's Japanese.
I'm hoping, for me personally, of course, it's not probably not going to happen, but I keep hearing about Silent Hill. I'm hoping that one. It will be Hideo Kojima, which...
Yeah.
Kojima Productions, I believe it is now. After
yeah, it's not Capcom. What's the Cap? Oh, they did mention Resident Evil that might be showing there too. They said that, and that's Capcom. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, but I know it's not going to show up either. I've been hearing about. I know you talked about it more about the Power Stone, if they ever did that one, a remake of something of Power Stone.
Yeah,
which I doubt it. But I'm thinking, for me, it's gonna be those like 16 and stuff. Everybody's going towards Final Fantasy 16.
Might be Street Fighter 6. Also,
yeah, that too. But I'm also thinking this is also gonna mention a lot of Spartacus with that around the corner.
And that's the thing. I don't know. That also brings me to my question: I don't know if this would be the place for that. Actually, I think that's story number 3. Let me see here. No, that's a PlayStation update. So I don't know if this would be the conversation for that, because I would assume that you would talk about Spartacus on a whole separate state of play that's focused just on Spartacus, or maybe at his PlayStation showcase at the end, depending on how they're going to do this. If Spartacus is going to have day one releases, which I doubt it will, but if it does, you want to throw that at the very beginning of your showcase. Because you show off Spartacus, you tell them what they do, and then the games that follow that is like, hey, by the way, you get this game on Spartacus. Hey, by the way, you get this game on Spartacus. Like, if you do it like that, I think that's genius marketing right there.
They may throw it in at the end.
If they throw it at the end, then that makes me believe even more that it's not going to be, you're going to get even, like, you're not going to have day one releases. Like, you're just not, because... I don't think that they're going to be like, hey, here's all these games. And then here's Spartacus. By the way, everything that you saw with some of those games, you probably just thought is out of your mind now. Like, all those games that we mentioned earlier are going to be on Spartacus. I think that you do it in reverse. You'd be like, hey, here's Spartacus, and then here's the game there. You have the trailer, like, oh, that looks interesting. Oh, by the way, it's on Spartacus. Oh, well, I can download it now for free. Like, that's kind of how that mindset would go if you did it that way. But, yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, it could be either way, but I don't think tomorrow will be a Spartacus discussion. I think that would be, if there's a showcase at the end of this month, I think that that's where that would be at. This is really hard to tell. I really have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow because I was not expecting this news today. Like, I just wasn't, so I really don't know. I think the ones that would make the most sense would be seeing some more Street Fighter VI because that's technically an announced game. It's Capcom. And
yeah.
On top of that, even though a lot of people will be excited for Street Fighter VI, it's not a God of War. It's not a Horizon. It's not a Ghost of Tsushima. So I think that this would be an appropriate level for that. Same thing if they decide to announce a Power Stone. That could be one of the unannounced games, and that's also Capcom. So it could be something like that. And I, even though I would be thrilled about it, I don't think it's on a caliber that most people would be excited about it. I don't think it would be something that's like breaking the internet, you know, like an Elden Ring or a Starfield or anything like that. I don't think it'd be anything like that. So, yeah. Literally going in tomorrow with a blank slate, which, again, we're going to be live reacting to for anyone that's listening or watching right now on Twitch or Twitter or listening on Anchor/Spotify. So we'll be going live at 4:50 p.m. having like a little pre-show with ALWT staff, and we'll have to see who's all going to be available on that. As of right now, it's currently just me, but Mildred here may be in the mix. We'll have to see. We'll have to see if I can bribe him. we'll take a look into that future. But we're going to live react to it tomorrow. It's again 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll be going live at 4:30. But still inside the series of PlayStation news, I wanted to talk about PlayStation update that has happened today. Baron Bonthius from GameSpot talks about this in their article. If you powered your PS5 consoles today, you were likely prompted with a message to download and install the latest firmware update that goes by exotic name of version 21.02-04.51.00. Just like the last several updates, this one doesn't do much besides improving the system performance. It has been a while since Sony introduced a substantial update to the console, with the notable release coming to the in the version 21.02-04.00.00 patch back in December 2021. That allowed for the M.2 SSD drive to be installed into the console's expansion slot and be recognized, 3D audio support for speakers, and games to be more clearly differentiated with your console version you were about to install. Social interactions through the game base was also enhanced, and trophy hunting fans have more options available for keeping track of their in-game accomplishments. There's still a number of features on the PS5's fans wish list, currently, such as emulations of older games, holding down the PlayStation Home button to bring up the power option, and dedicated folder organization. So, so there's just a little update there for you guys. If you guys have not done so already, you guys can definitely power up your PS5, get that little update, and see them try to have more stabilization inside the performance. Which, yeah, I haven't had any. I've been enjoying every bit of my PS5. What about you there, Nineball? You've been having any issues? Everything been going good with yours?
Everything's been going fine. It's been running great.
Yep, it looks beautiful on my 4K TV. it runs Funimation and Crunchyroll quite well, which here soon will just be Crunchyroll. No complaints. But again, I said this for like the 30th time. I'll say it again. Tomorrow, State of Play event. Have no idea what we're going to see. We're going to be streaming that live tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but we'll be going live at 4:50 p.m. EST. Forspoken delayed. This is story number two. This is the true story number two. Wesley LeBlanc from Game Informer says this in their article. Forspoken, the upcoming Magic-based RPG for Square Enix and Luminous Production, has been delayed until October. More specifically, Forspoken has been delayed from its original May 24th release date to October 11th, 5 days before my birthday. That's not in the article. I just want to throw that out there. Loomis Productions announced the news today, citing a need for more time to work on the game and deliver on the promise of the vision for this magic-based RPG. This is the tweet. We have made the decision to move on to move the release date for Forspoken to October 11, 2022. Loomis Production writes, our vision for this exciting new IP is to deliver a game world and hero that gamers across the globe will want to experience for years to come. So getting it right is extremely important to us. To that end, during the next few months, we will focus all of our efforts to polishing the game and can't wait for you to experience Frey's journey this fall. Thank you for understanding and continued support. We look forward to sharing more about Forspoken with you soon. End quote, end story, end tweet. Nineball, what does this news do for you about Forspoken being delayed? Did you have a general interest in this game? Like, did this character speak to you at all? Like, where's your hype level for this game and what does the delay do for you?
Been gradually rising. At first, when I first seen it, I kind of blew it off. It's like, oh, it's like the NeverEnding Story or something. But the more I've been seeing of it, the more I've been getting kind of interested in it. For it to be delayed, I mean, it's not a big deal. With all these games coming up here shortly, this probably is a good thing. I have an enormous backlog I got to burn through, so...
Facts.
I can let this one sit in the back. It'll be fine. I'll get it when it comes out. And October 11th, I don't think there's a lot of stuff coming out October 11th, which is even better.
Yeah, right now we don't have a whole lot of log that's coming out in the fall / winter. The only games I can think of off the top of my head is Saints Row, the reboot. Forspoken, and Starfield, and that's it. I can't think of anything else that's coming out in the fourth quarter of this year.
Yeah.
As he's looking that up, I am very excited about this game. I was excited about it when it was called Project Athia. So before it even came out with its new name and everything like that, I was very excited about this game. It looked very cool. This is the very first time that I've seen a video game character speak in this way, to where it's like very isekai. Like, that's the thing. It's an isekai game. Normally when you think of isekai, you think anime. This is an isekai game. Like, she's living in Brooklyn or the Bronx or whatever she's at, and then she gets sucked into another world, and you're literally living as this person that's speaking just like me and you. And it's just very interesting of how they decided to go with this. And Gary Whitta, which is a Star Wars writer, but also affiliated with Kinda Funny Games, which I watch all the time. He's definitely a writer on this game. One of the writers, if not the writer on this game. And I'm very curious to see how he brings this story to light. I hope it sticks with me. And the gameplay looks awesome. I'm a Final Fantasy fan too as well. And this is Square Enix. So, I just think that this is best case scenario for a new IP to happen.
Yeah, I'm bringing up the schedule here. It was the best case scenario. If you look at all this crap hitting out already in March, it's a ton. I mean, you've got, of course, Triangle Strategy, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Dawn of Ragnarok, Distant World 2.
That's DLC, isn't it? Because Valhalla's already out.
So yeah.
Triangle Strategy. I know we had obviously Elden Ring just now.
Elex 2. Mm-hmm. You've got Tunic, Shredders, Persona 4, Arena Ultimate, Anno Mutagen, Strangers in Paradise, Rune 5, Ghostwire Tokyo, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is just March. I mean.
Yeah. Not to mention what already came out that people are still playing, which is Elden Ring, Horizon, Sifu. Like,
we
have a ton of games that's going to be out here, and I know this one's probably going to be a storyline-based game, so you're going to want people to have their time with it, be able to get through it, and soak in the story, soak in the gameplay, and I do think best-case scenario would have been to delay it. Even though I was definitely one to get it at launch for May, I think this was best-case scenario for it to be.
Add a step for your wallet a bit, let it recover.
Exactly. Because that's another thing. Even if you're excited about this game, there's other games that's coming out, and you might have to make a choice especially with gas prices going up the way that they have been.
Yeah,
inflation happening everywhere. You're just like, okay, what can I really budget this time? So.
Yeah, in October, the only thing coming out with it is Against the Storm.
Well, and then, but also kind of close to that time period is Saints Row. I think that's September, right?
Where is it? No, that's in August.
That's August. So,
okay, August 23rd.
So you got a little bit of breathing room. So yeah, and then what's it called? Starfield is 11/11, right?
Yeah, 11/11/22.
So you got a full 30 days, assuming nothing else of note comes out within that time period. You got a full 30 days with Forspoken by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's plenty of time.
So, wow, that's a bunch of games on hold without dates yet.
So yeah, that's kind of my thing too as well. I wish it wasn't delayed, but at the same time, I understand it being delayed, and with everything that's currently out right now, I do think that this was the best case scenario for this game. So I'll wait to play it, and I can't wait to play it. Before we get inside story number three, I want to remind anyone that's listening on Anchor or Spotify or watching right now on YouTube or Twitch that you guys can go to repsports.com, type in ALWT Game Ice checkout. You guys can get your Raise Energy drinks for 15% off after you type in that ALWT gaming code inside checkout. Again, you can get your workout powders, water supplements, Raise Energy drinks. You can get like shirts and all that good stuff. Just type in ALWT gaming checkout, get 15% off. Going on over to story number three now. Game Pass ... on Steam. So Ethan Gotch from Kotaku says this in their article. Game Pass is currently one of the best deals in gaming. For $15 a month, you get access to a rotating list of 100 games, a small indie titles like Unpacking to big blockbuster titles like Halo Infinite. You can play them on Xbox or PC or stream them just about anywhere else. Valve CEO Gabe Newell now says he wouldn't be opposed to having it come to Steam. Newell was asked in an interview by PC Gamer whether Valve has any plans to roll out a competing subscription of its own, maybe even call it something like Steam Pass. The former Microsoft employee said no. I don't think it's something that we think we need to do by ourselves, building a subscription service at this time, Newell said. But for the customers, it's clearly a popular option, and we'd be more than happy to work with them to get that on Steam. While it doesn't sound like there are any current plans in the works for Game Pass on Steam, both companies have spoken quite a bit about the topic. If your customers want it, then you should figure out how to make it happen, Newell told PC Gamer. That's where we're at. End quote, end story. So, Nineball, what does this do for you?
Spoken. Gabe Newell spoken. It must come through. to be honest, this is not nothing of a big surprise. Mm-hmm. They already do this with EA Access, I believe, is currently on there.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. It won't really... I mean, this is just another option for them to put Game Pass on there. They already put a ton of games on Steam, and this is probably for Microsoft one of the best options to get yours on one of the biggest platforms on PC to get it to go. It takes away, I mean, the good news is it takes away a launcher. So, for those that don't know, PC games people are not fans of having 85 launchers light up at the bottom of your screen.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you turn your computer on. This is why currently the Epic Game Store never turns on mine unless I bother to turn it on. And that's usually just to pick up the free game because it's annoying and it just takes up space and it just takes up resources. To have it on there, it will make it very convenient for the gaming community. Therefore, if you wanted it, they're going to be more tempted to try it. Because I don't have to go get the Xbox platform, log into my Xbox account. I mean, granted, you might have to log into your Xbox account, but you're doing it through Steam. Once you're logged in, you're logged in. And it'll just do the updates along with the Steam update, so you probably won't pay it much in the way of attention. And I feel like this is the better way. And it probably, for me personally, I think it will come to theme. Xbox's goal is to get this thing on as many devices as possible. And they've made this clear time and time again. I've heard rumors that they was in talks with Nintendo. I don't know if it was rumors or what, but they was in talks with Nintendo. I wouldn't be surprised if that's true. I wouldn't be surprised if they're talking with Sony. I know they talk about putting it on smart TVs. They might put it on smart refrigerators. God knows what else they'll put the thing on. Anything that can run a game, I'm betting they'll put it on. They'll probably put it on your phone. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out to your phone one day. Well,
it is on your phone.
It is?
Yeah. You can get the Game Pass app on your phone right now.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. You can.
Yeah. That's part of the ultimate is that you have on PC, Xbox, and phone.
Oh, mine's ain't signed in yet. That's what happened. I gotta resign. I forgot it's a new phone. I forgot to sign it back in. but anything that it can fit on, I feel like they're gonna do because it's one way of cornering the market and getting an established foothold. They've worked with Steam pretty well so far, and Gabe Newell pretty much is chill about it. It won't really affect his business. It'll probably be a boom for his business. Because you'll get Xbox fanboys to be on there, and it might be on there and see some games and go, I can't play this on Game Pass.
I can play it on Steam.
Yeah, let me go ahead and purchase this game on Steam. And who knows, they might even pick up some Sony games. Let's say you're on Steam playing your Xbox game and you turn it off and there's a big God of War sitting on top.
Yeah.
Alright, and I'll be on sale or something. They might just pick it up and go, this is pretty cool.
Right. But, I think it's a really important, ultimately this news does nothing for me except for one thing. And that thing is, I'm hoping that will bridge the gap between Windows players and Steam players. Because that has been a thing to where you would download a game on Steam for Final Fantasy 15, for example, Comrades, you download it on Steam. Me and Mildew and Kira downloaded on Game Pass, and we couldn't play together because we had different, we just couldn't link up together. So I'm hoping that if they do decide to go ahead and come with this, bring this to light, and have us all be on one kind of accord, then that might bridge the gap between at least Xbox Game Pass games and when you're playing online with people that have the Steam version downloaded.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would make the most sense in that. Outside of that, this really does nothing for me, to be completely honest with you. maybe it would play more of a part in the Steam Deck, because I think that would be another thing that would be beneficial. Because outside of that, if you have Steam, there's a good chance you have a computer already. And if you have a computer already, then you probably have Game Pass. So it's just like, is it really necessary to put Game Pass on Steam for PC players? But then when you think about it, again, like you just said, promotional purposes, it would be good for them to put on Steam. It's already on a computer anyway, but if you
Steam Deck,
go ahead.
Steam has already mentioned that you can put it on there.
Yeah, but you kind of have to download the OS for Windows, right?
I'm not sure. I know they've mentioned that before. How you can put Steam. You can put Microsoft Game Pass on there.
Yeah, I was about to say, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that you still have to download the Windows OS or whatever, and then you can do the Microsoft Game Pass. If they just go ahead and just make it a thing to where just like, hey, we can put Game Pass on Steam, then chances are there's going to be some sort of update to where it's just going to already be included on there, and you don't have to do any extra steps, which would be very beneficial for anybody that's picking up the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
So yeah, more news on that to come. Right now, it's just a rumor, and it looks like that there's more discussion about it with Newell and possibly Spencer. But we'll have to wait and see what that future is going to look like. Story number 4 is It's the Nine Ball Special. Dead Space Remake is on stream this week. I'm actually going to let you take that one if you want to read that. Story number 4 by Jessica Howard from GameSpot.
Alright, Nine Ball Special, Dead Space Remake, stream. Jessica Howard from GameSpot. Following EA's big reveal that a Dead Space remake was in the works last year, not a lot of new information has surfaced about the upcoming project. However, developer Motive Studio has announced a live stream offering fans early looks at development and what's going on into the remake of a game. Is coming on March 11th. In addition to announcing the stream on Twitter, Motive also shared a minute-long trailer on YouTube teasing the announcement. The tense clip features some familiar and eerie sound effects, a splicer, and a brief look at protagonist Isaac Clarke, but doesn't reveal much else. Based on a Motive calling this stream an early look at development, it seems safe to say a release date is still a ways off. I guess I will take this one. This is interesting. I mean, anybody that knows Dead Space knows that it left on, let's say, a sour note. Where it ended at was pretty much, it left at a huge cliffhanger before they completely canceled the story. And they just left you there. I felt like the game could have went so much further, and hopefully, I was always hoping everybody would pick it back up. Now, I want to see how Motive handles it. I am a bit worried, because whenever you see that it goes to another company, I'm just hoping they don't mess it up or anything. The remake should more or less follow it faithfully. I feel like it needs some update graphics. I need to replay it, though, to see how well it aged. Like, I'm thinking of it like a spectacular game, but you never know nowadays. Some games I played, I thought it was like brilliant, then you go back to play them again, you're like, oh.
Dragon Age, the first one. That's the,
yeah.
That's my thing. Like, it was definitely that way for us until I want to say probably about like, even right now when you go back and play it, it still is kind of a grind to do at the very beginning, but then afterwards it you're just like, okay, I get the gameplay, it speeds up, it feels good, all that good stuff.
That's where I'm at. I mean, I really want to see where this game is and how well it aged and everything. I think, to be honest, the Dead Space did great as if it... the first and second one really catapulted it into horror game stardom. I mean, this is like one of the top scariest games. The first one, the second one. The third game was more of a confident shooter. But the Awakening DLC, I think it was Awakening. Was it called Awakening? I can't remember what it was. But I think the Awakening DLC did a good job to bring it back. I mean, yeah, I love the multiplayer. Like, you could play with your friends and stuff. But the ending was spectacular. And to make it back and to see everything that's happening. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I'm ready for part four. And you hear, like, stories about it. And then, well, Visceral Games has been just shut down and absorbed by EA. I'm sorry, guys. It's never happening. But lately, I've seen them picking up older franchises, which I'm glad to see, and going, okay, we're going to give this another chance. Recently, Mass Effect has been picked up, and they just did the, what was it, the Legendary?
Yep.
Yeah, Legendary Edition, when they put all three together, yep. Which I'm probably going to be going through here shortly. And they have already teased at a Mass Effect 4. Mm-hmm. And the way they're picking up Dead Space, it brings me kind of cautious hope. Because I really feel like these franchises never really got a shot. I'm hoping that maybe they pick up one time. I mean, I know, I want to say, who else was on me? I want to say Ohio was on with me. And I talked about, who wasn't on here, but we was talking one day. We was playing Smite or something. Talking about Jade Empire. I'm hoping that they pick that up. I know it was I know it was BioWare. I want to say BioWare. I think EA and BioWare.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping
it's on the EA Access right now. Like, it's on the EA launcher, so yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah, I bought it. I already got it. I think I got it on GOG. Because the minute I saw it, I just had to buy it. It was just like, ooh, $5. There you go. It's worth a pickup. I don't think it aged like spectacularly well, but the story is great. And I'm thinking that, to be honest, a lot of these franchises that they're doing this with, I'm hoping that they do a good job on to bring them back, really enlighten them, and finish them off. I mean, Dead Space deserves Dead Space fans like myself, we deserve to see what happened. How Isaac Clarke and them will bring this full circle, and how this will conclude. Just like the fans of Mass Effect deserve to see what happened to Shepard, and not Three Colors. With just like a story at the end. So do us justice. Give us the endings we deserve, and make it for another thing. Make it for Mass Effect. Make it for Dead Space fans. You don't have to make a game that is accessible for everybody.
Yeah.
It's something I've learned playing Death Stranding. Like, I wouldn't recommend this to not many people. But the few people I would, they would love the game, but a lot of people might not like it. They probably hate it, but to the fans of it, it's your particular title. It's what you go with. It's what you enjoy. Go with it.
Thanks. Yeah, I have no comment on it, so I'm just going to go on over to story number 5, which is a fun one. It's got a couple fun ones out there for you guys. Not going to spend too much time on that, and we're actually going to be ending early today. But the first fun one here is Lost Ark update, with Adam Bankirk from IGN says this inside their article. The team behind Lost Ark has announced that on March 4th, it has permanently removed over 1 million illegitimate accounts from the game that were running bots. The news was shared via a blog saying that it understands botting has been a huge problem since Lost Ark's launch, and the team has been hard at work on crafting effective tools and methods to identify and remove bots from the game. Now that work has begun to pay off. Looking ahead, we will continue to work on detecting and removing botting and cheating and harmful behavior from the Lost Ark scale, which includes expanding our anti-cheat tools, improving bot identification methods, and rolling out more ban waves as frequently as it is necessary.
Go ahead. If I say Lost Ark was a pretty good game, I'm actually thinking about going back to it.
Same. Actually, I was going to ask you, like, when are we going to get back to it? Because, yeah, it was a fun game. Very Diablo style, but to MMORPG style. And yeah, it was definitely I definitely enjoyed from what I played with it whenever we did our 9-to-5 segment. So there you go. Yeah, so a little updates for you. So if you guys are Lost Ark fans and you're not botting, congratulations. If you are botting, go play something else.
Yeah, I don't know why you would play a game and go botting. That just makes no sense. It's just the dumbest thing ever.
And I'm assuming there's PvP in Lost Ark. I'm assuming there is because of the way that they're saying botting and cheating and stuff. Like, outside of that, why would you, if it's not a PvP, why would you, well, first off, why would you even cheat in a PvP game in general? Just use your skill. But then also on top of that, if it's not PvP, then why even bother cheating? like what purpose is that? Like, you're against the NPC and that's it. So I don't get it.
Yeah, it makes no sense as to why you would do that. I mean, it's a game. Enjoy it. Why sit there and cheat?
Yeah. It's not fun for anybody.
No.
The next one for fun ones is game delays from Gabe Gerwin from GameSpot says this in their article, one of the games we had talked about previously. 2022 has only just begun, but our dear friend Art Van Delay has already shown up for a few times to push the games no further into the year or even into another year entirely. Game delays aren't rare, and as the year goes on, the list of game delays in 2022 will only grow larger, rivaling the game releases in 2022. To try to keep it straight, we've compiled a list of all the games delayed so far, removing ones that have eventually been released. These are games delayed in 2022 so far. Note that only the games with the delays across all available systems have been included, so games with only the Switch Cloud version delayed, for example, has been omitted. Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl. Frontiers, Warhammer, Age of Sigmar RTS. The House of Dead Remake, Rumbleverse, Evil Dead the Game, The Settlers, and Forspoken. So those are all of your game delays currently for 2022. But then again, do keep in mind that that list very well could grow as the year progresses and moves forward.
It's almost going to grow. This is almost a trend in video games nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing I want to shout out before we go on over to the last little fun one. The first game I've ever seen have not a delay, but I guess an early release or a push forward, if you will. I don't even know what you would call that. But with Sifu. It was supposed to come out last year. Then it got delayed until, like, supposed to be, like, spring of this year. And then they pushed forward the release. So then it came out earlier, which it just came out a couple weeks ago. And that was something I like to see. I like to see it when games are in a good spot to where they can release earlier than they did.
Yeah.
So there you go. Final Fantasy 14 updates. John Carson from Game Informer says this in their article. Members of the Final Fantasy 14 held a live letter from the producer presentation this morning, where the producer, Naoki Yoshida, a.k.a. Yoshi P., gave some insight to what the players will find in the first big patch for the Endwalker expansion. Titled Newfound Adventure, patch 6.1 will introduce just that, a new adventure to embark on, or at least the beginnings of one. Rolling credits on Endwalker's main scenario closed the book for many ongoing storylines, including the overarching narrative of the Asians, Primals, and Garlean Empire as we know it, and even more threads. So now the Final Fantasy XIV team is ramping up something new, and unfortunately, something that is still unknown to us at this point. Here's what to expect: new main scenario quests, new side quests, which are going to include Tataru's Grand Endeavor, new tribe quests, which is going to include the Arca Sodara, which is patch 6.15, somehow further Hildebrand Adventures, which is a hilarious one. That's always a comedic one. Anything that's held in with Hildebrand, which also is 6.15. Omega Beyond the Rift, which is 6.1X. Improvements to a Realm Reborn main scenario quest, patch 2.0 only. Duty Supporter System. New dungeons. New trials, which are going to be the End Singer's Area. New Unreal Trial, which is Ultima's Bane. New Alliance Raid, which is Myths of the Realm Part 1. New Ultimate Duty, which is Dragon Song's Reprise, patch 6.11. New PvP Constant, which is Crystalline Conflict. New Custom Deliveries, which is Emilience, which is patch 6.15. New Residential District, so a new area to live. That's kind of cool. Imperium, Adventures Plates, the Unending Codex, a new data center travel, which is patch 6.18, additional new game plus chapters, features to try on items from the Final Fantasy 14 online store, and new mounts, minions, and emotes. So a lot of good stuff inside that Final Fantasy 14 update if you guys are MMORPG fans and like Final Fantasy 14. Haven't played 14 in about a week or two. Actually, it's probably a week, actually, because I did go and swap between Elden Ring and 14 for a little bit. This update is great, and I can't wait to get to this point. It's still going to be a while for me. I'm still inside Stormblood. But, again, I'm inside Stormblood, so I'm not super far behind. Like, I'm out of Heaven's Word. I'm out inside the base of Realm Reborn. I think I'm about beginning, maybe getting to the middle of Stormblood. And then once I get through that, then it's going to be Shadowbringer. And after I get through Shadowbringer, then it's going to be Endwalker. And I can't wait to see what that has in store for me. The story's just been fantastic, impeccable, and cannot wait to play more of that when I have the time to play more of that. What about you, then? Yeah. Any of those fun ones do anything? Well, I know we just talked a little bit about the first two, but any updates for, like, any insight that you have for Final Fantasy 14 update?
I've been meaning to get back on. I've neglected it. I'm not gonna say I neglected. I kind of took a break from it. I had a couple games I've been running through. Like I said, I've been playing a lot of Master Duel, but I've been looking at 14. I'm coming back to it. Probably gonna do it sometime here shortly. Just going ahead and get on up to 80 and get the last quest done, so then I can just call it.
Right.
And then get to the end game content.
Yep. Yeah, it's always that stuff that's in between that kind of feels a little stretched when you're going from DLC to DLC.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that, all that stuff in between, because it's just a whole other scenario in there. And I definitely liked how Heaven's Word on over to Stormbringer did it. I mean, not Stormbringer, but Bloodstorm. I like how they did it, because it definitely felt like it was part of the main story still, which was really cool. Plus, it had dragons in it, which was awesome. A lot of fun there. That's how I got my dragon mount. Can't complain. That does it here for All Things Gaming, episode 10 for season 2 of 2022, which again, this is March 8th. As a reminder, tomorrow we have a 3-day stream pretty much in a row. We just wrapped up this stream. If you guys want to rewatch it, make sure you guys are following us on YouTube. Just type in AOWD Gaming inside the search bar. If you can't find us that way, just type in At Least We Tried Gaming, because that's what AOWD Gaming stands for, and At Least We Tried. Of course, social media platforms such as Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of that, just type in AOWD Gaming. Tomorrow, again, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the State of Play. So we'll be going live at 4:50 p.m. on the dot. And, of course, you guys are welcome to hang out with us and see what PlayStation has in store, because I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen there. And then Thursday is our SIN segment, the Strength in Numbers segment, as we go through further inside of Anthem. That's right, Anthem. And we're going to try to get through that base game, see how it ends, and see why everyone hates it so much. It's a beautiful game. But we're just going to get through that. And then after that, we're going to be, of course, once we're done with Anthem, we're going to go over to another co-op campaign style game that we can play together. And then this, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, which I went and skipped that SIN segment for next week, and I went and skipped that All Things Game for next week as well, which you guys can check out, same time, is going to be our 9-to-5 segment. So next Saturday is a 9-to-5 segment where we'll be playing Digimon Master. Ooh, it's not Master Duel. What's it called? Let me take a look at this. It's not Detective. It is. Let me see. Oh no, it is. It's Digimon Masters Online.
Oh.
Yeah, Digimon Masters Online. We'll be playing that not this Saturday, but next Saturday. So again, tomorrow 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Thursday is going to be 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then fast forwarding to next week, which is All Things Gaming Episode 11, which is 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then that SIN segment, 8 p.m. again. And then it's going to be our 9-to-5 that following Saturday. So, of course, we'll go ahead and let you guys know all this before I let you guys go, because I did have it up here and I can't believe I didn't talk about it. Fantasy Gaming League. We want to give you guys a little update on that, because there are some new games that came out, and some good stuff and some bad stuff. So here we go. Talking about this, Ohio in the lead right now still. How fantasy gaming works, 100-point scale. 70 points is the threshold. Anything above 70 points gains you points. Anything below 70 points loses you points. So on a Metacritic, if a game scores, let's say it's a 90, then that's 20 points above 70. So that gains you 20 points. Anything that's below 70 points, so if it says it gets a 60, will lose you points. There are things on there called counter picks, which if I have a game and it's a 9-ball, choose that game as his counter pick. He's trying to mess me up. If that game does not come out, I can't drop it. So that's going to make me lose out on points because I can't pick up a new game to replace that. If it does come out and it does great for me, then that means I not only do I get the points, but 9-ball loses the points because he counterpicked it. So whatever points that I would have gained, he would lose, and vice versa. If it does poorly and I lose the points, then he gains those points because, again, he had called it that I wasn't going to do well. One thing that I never did actually mention on here, because we never actually really had this, I think maybe one time last year, but it didn't result in the win, so just want to throw this out there. Anything above 90 points is double points. So if a game gets a 91, then that's 20 points above 70, because it's actually 21 points above 70, but 20 points above 70, which is his base points, but then he gets, instead of getting 1 point, he actually gets 2 points. Because it's 91 is 1 point above 90. So he gets 2 points. It's double the points on that one. In this case, we have Ohio. Make Ohio Great Again. Has Pokemon Legends Arceus. Has 14 points, which got an 84 on Metacritic. Sifu got 10 points, which got an 80 on Metacritic. He has Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. It's pending to come out. Marvel's Midnight Suns pending to come out. Elden Ring got him a 32. Normally that would have been a 26. But because he got 96, which is 6 points above 90 and 20 points above 70, he ended up getting an extra 12 points on top of that. So it ended up being a 32 for him on that. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, pending. He has 2 open spots still. He has a counterpick of Suicide Squad Killed the Justice League, which is not coming out. And that's on Renzoku Ken's list. Renzoku Ken has God of War Ragnarok, pending. Triangle Strategy came out at 12 points, so 82 on Metacritic. Suicide Squad killed the Justice League, not coming out. Chocobo GP got a 69 current. It's pending at a 69, I should say. And that was counterpicked by Mildewy Carrot. So right now, as it stands, Mildewy Carrot is gaining 1 point, while Rizoku Ken is losing 1 point. Kirby and the Forgotten Lands, pending. Final Fantasy 16, pending. Metroid Prime 4, pending. He has an open spot, and he has a counterpick of Diablo Immortal, which is on Illis B Live's list. And Illis B Live has Dying Light 2, Stay Human, which scored 6 points, so 76 on Metacritic. Bayonetta 3, pending. Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, pending. Mario plus Rabbit, Sparks of Hope, pending. Diablo Immortal, pending. Shovel Knight Dig, pending. He has 2 open spots and his counterpick on Saints Row. Saints Row is on... It's the Nine Balls list, which I'll go over right now. It's the Nine Ball has Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild 2, pending. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, pending. Heart of Chernobyl, which is delayed. How long is it delayed until? Is it delayed until next year, or is it just delayed right now?
I thought it was delayed to right now. We're saying December.
Yeah, December 8th is showing up right now. So it's late, but we'll see. Saints Row, pending. Total War, Warhammer 3. It got 17 points, which is 87 points on Metacritic. Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, pending. He has 2 open spots and is a counterpick of Marvel's Midnight Sun, which we had said before was on MOGA's list. Make OHAO great again. You have me representing ALWT Gaming with Horizon Forbidden West, got me 18 points, 88 on Metacritic. Plague Tale Requiem, pending. Starfield, pending. Ghostwire Tokyo, pending. Gotham Knights, pending. Redfall, pending. Mario Strikers, Battle League, pending. The King of Fighters 15 got me 10 points, which is 80 points on Metacritic. And Bayonetta 3 had that as a counterpick on Illuminatus Living's list. And then lastly, our former leader, our former winner, is Gran Turismo 7 with Carrot Patch Inc., a.k.a. Mildewy Carrot, has 17 points, which got him 87 points on Metacritic. Forspoken, pending. Tunic, pending. Splatoon 3, pending. Stray, pending. Salt and Sacrifice, pending. Advanced Wars 1 plus 2 Reboot Camp, pending. He has an open spot, and he has a counterpick of Chocobo GP, as we mentioned previously, which is on Renzoku-ken's list. So there you have it. That is everybody's list right now for all things gaming, for our fantasy gaming league. Of course, we go ahead and give you guys the little updates, all that good news, all that good stuff. Nineball, any last words before we dip on out of here?
No, I've got none. Just enjoy your day, but be safe.
Heard that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're gaming, you ain't shaming. So there you go. I just want to throw that out there. A little cheese ball for you. That's okay. We like to have fun here. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. Hopefully we'll see you guys tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until next time, everybody. Control. Alt.
Complete.
Peace.